I'm going to talk to you a little bit about terrorism today. I'm going to start with this word here. In before it's news, it says, breaking grave message just issued to Christians by Perry Stone. A terror alert about what is right around the corner. And with all the commotion and chaos happening with immigration, Islamic terrorism, and the economy, Evangelist Perry Stone has just issued a terror alert and a prophetic which shouldn't be taken lightly. With Christian persecution on the rise, one can no longer turn a blind eye to such travesty. It's time to act and time to take a stand. And when you hear what Perry Stone has to say, you just might make a few changes in your daily activities. And I'm not going to play the audio for you. I'll just shoot a text with you. It says, terror alert. And this was found on Perry Stone's Facebook page, December the 4th. Since the 1980s, groups of Muslims have been provided finances from their governments, including Morocco, to come to America, getting visas and finding jobs to eventually participate in an American jihad. They are given a phone number to call. There are warehouses in all 50 states with weapons, and when the word is given, they will be given an address to go to pick up their weaponry, and as a Muslim said, America will burn. When Obama opened the Mexican border, numerous Muslims, some speaking Spanish, posing as Mexican immigrants, and I might say that there were a lot of them that came across that didn't speak any Spanish, and I remember that report. So they might speak Spanish and they might not speak Spanish. They just are made up to look like Mexicans. And that's been happening for years. And they came into America, and Obama is demanding to allow Syrians, 98% Muslims, to enter America, with untold numbers who could be possible terror agents. There are hundreds of sleeper cells, including cells in Knoxville, Tennessee, Lexington, Kentucky, and throughout the Southeast, and I might say the North, too. he's leaving a lot out here, but including in the mountains of West Virginia. Recently, two Muslims with Kentucky tags were spotted locally, videotaping in numerous buildings, including churches. I received a message connected with the U.S. military that when a radical leader says publicly, last days, brothers, last days, the United States will know what hit them, won't know what hit them, excuse me, and they are targeted places around the holidays, targeting places around the holidays, and I'm sure he's talking about this coming Christmas and so on. It's time to get security in all malls, schools, and churches, and visit Smith & Wesson, and get your conceal and carry permit. Well, that's him, that's not me. We know that that's going to be foolishness, because the Lord has promised that if you take the sword, you will die by the sword. And that's Revelation chapter 13. So I take that threat seriously. I'm more worried about the Lord than I am them. Right? He said, report suspicious activity, and yes, get a security team that will profile individuals when needed. All this is natural stuff here. Israel is not afraid to profile anyone at any time, and this is why they have stopped numerous attacks. When a knife-wielding radical comes towards anyone in Israel to stab them, they will be shot dead by police or packing Israeli. Get your head out of the sand and realize terror has come to America, and it is only the beginning. Well, I tell you, people ought to get their head out of the sand and find out why it's coming to America, because a man can receive nothing except to come from heaven. And the Lord spoke to me just the other day about where this was coming from, and he said it was coming from him. Benjamin Netanyahu told me they will use your laws to get inside the country, then use your freedoms against you. There is much but I will restrain from sharing it on an open page. Please pre-post this to everyone to be alert and to be in prayer and to ask God to expose these ungodly and dangerous individuals. And God bless our military, and God bless all police officers who are doing their job. And he goes on, but I'm not going to go on. You can go on there if you want to. I'm going to read this to you. First, I want to point out to you that on our site, there's an article called "Will ISIS Attack on American Soil Soon?" And that was the 8th month of 2014 that we put that. And this is an article on Breaking Israel News. There's quite a few good articles here. Sometimes they lead off in the wrong direction, just like that one did, as far as giving it bad advice. But there's some really good information here. And it says, Syrians are a terror threat, and here are the numbers. And this is Daniel Greenfield, December the 2nd, 2015. Syria is a terror state. It didn't become that way overnight because of the Arab Spring or the Iraq War. Its people are not the victims of American foreign policy, Islamic militancy, or any other fashionable excuses. They supported Islamic terrorism. Millions of them still do. They are not the Jews fleeing a Nazi Holocaust. They are the Nazis trying to relocate from a bombed-out Berlin. Ah, yeah, that's right. These are the cold, hard facts. ISIS took over parts of Syria because its government willingly allied with it to help its terrorists kill Americans in Iraq. That support for al-Qaeda helped lead to the civil war tearing the country apart. And by the way, we're headed towards a civil war too, and I believe two areas are going to figure heavily, and that is terrorists being invited into the country to conquer the country and taking up the guns. I think that's one thing that's going to help bring about a civil war. Remember what Dmitry Duderman said, that the communists started a civil war, and I would probably use the word provoked a civil war on purpose. So don't get involved in it. The Syrians were not helpless, apathetic pawns in this fight. They supported Islamic terrorism. A 2007 poll showed that 77% of Syrians supported financing Islamic terrorists, including Hamas and the Iraqi fighters who evolved into ISIS. Less than 10% of Syrians opposed their terrorism. Well, by the way, our president and the Saudis, who are Sunni, and ISIS is Sunni, they created ISIS, you know, to do exactly what they're doing in the Middle East, kill off Christians and anybody that opposed them. So, obviously, the Russians know that and have commented about that, and now they've found out that Turkey is supporting ISIS with their oil situation, and that the Americans are supporting them to do that. So, I'll go on with this article. It says, why did Syrians support Islamic terrorism? Because they hated America. 63% wanted to refuse medical and humanitarian assistance from the United States. An equal number didn't want any American help caring for Iraqi refugees in Syria. The vast majority of Syrians turned down any form of assistance from the United States because they hated us, and they still do. Just because they're willing to accept it now doesn't mean they like us. If we bring Syrian Muslims to America, we will be importing a population that hates us. The terrorism poll numbers are still ugly. A poll this summer found that 1 in 5 Syrians supports ISIS. A third of Syrians support the al-Nusra Front, or Nusra Front, which is affiliated with al-Qaeda. Since Sunnis are 3/4 of the population and Shiites and Christians aren't likely to support either group, This really means that Sunni Muslim support for both terror groups is even higher than these numbers make it seem. Yes. And even though Christians and Yazidis are the ones who actually face ISIS genocide, Obama has chosen to take in few Christians and Yazidis. Now, let me say this, that almost none, from what I understand, it's less than 1% of Christians who are actually fleeing for their lives. The others are not fleeing for their lives. These are fleeing for their lives. And he uses the 98.6% of Obama's Syrian refugees are Sunni Muslims. Yeah, and higher than that are Muslims. So this is also the population most likely to support ISIS and Al-Qaeda. But these numbers are even worse than they look. Syrian men are more likely to view ISIS positively than women. This isn't surprising, as the Islamic State not only practices sex slavery, but has some ruthless restrictions for women that exceed even those of Saudi Arabia. Yes, and one woman who left here to go over there to join them tried to flee for her life, and they killed her. So you can go, but you can't leave. Al-Qaeda's al-Nusra front, however, mostly closes the gender gap, getting equal support from Syrian men and women. ISIS, however, gets its highest level of support from young men. And this is the Syrian refugee demographic. Yep, the overwhelming majority of the people that fled Syria and invaded Europe at the design of Mr. Obama were young men of military age. And that's why they're raping and pillaging Europe. And now he wants to do it here. And it seems that he's getting a lot of cooperation. Although the average American's against it, they can't do much about it. In the places where the Syrian refugees come from, support for Al-Qaeda groups climbs as high as 70%, 66% in Quneitra, 66% in Raqqa, 47% in Dersor, 47% in Hasakeh, 41% in Dera, and 41% in Aleppo. Okay. 70% support for ISIS in Raqqa has been dismissed as the result of fear, but if Syrians in the ISIS capital were just afraid of the Islamic State, why would the al-Nusra front, which ISIS is fighting, get nearly as high a score from the people in Raqqa? The answer is that their support for al-Qaeda is real. Apologists will claim that these numbers don't apply to the Syrian refugees. It's hard to say how true that is. Only 13% of Syrian refugees will admit to supporting ISIS, though that number still means that of Obama's first 10,000 refugees, 1,300 will support ISIS. So obviously it's much higher than that. But the poll doesn't delve into their views of other al-Qaeda groups, such as the al-Nusra Front, which usually gets more Sunni Muslim support. And there's no sign that they have learned to reject Islamic terrorism and their hatred for America. When Syrian refugees were asked to list the greatest threat, 29% picked Iran, 22% picked Israel, and 19% picked America. Only 10% viewed Islamic terrorism as a great threat. Well, that's because they're the same religion as the Islamic terrorists that are going through their land, and they are in quite of agreement with it. By way of comparison, twice as many Iraqis see Islamic terrorism as a threat than Syrians do, and slightly more Palestinian Arabs view Islamic terrorism as a threat than Syrians do. These are terrible numbers. 37% of Syrian refugees oppose U.S. airstrikes on ISIS. 33% oppose the objective of destroying ISIS. And these are the people whom our politicians would have us believe are fleeing from ISIS? Fleeing from an ISIS Holocaust? No, not to them. It's not. It's not a Holocaust. 73% of Syrian refugees view U.S. foreign policy negatively. That's a higher number than Iraqis. It's about equal to that of Palestinian Arabs. They don't like us. They really don't like us. Obama first shipment of Syrians will include 1,300 ISIS supporters. It's actually much higher than that, according to what he was saying. This is just what he knows he can prove, right? And most of the rest will hate this country. But unless they're stupid enough to announce that during their interviews, the multi-layered vetting that Obama and other politicians boast about will be useless. Well, of course it will. They're going to answer. The reason they're coming here is to do their job. And they're going to answer just the way they're supposed to be able to deceive. Besides, Islam believes in deceiving the unbelievers. It's part of their religion. It only took Muslim refugees to carry out the Boston Marathon massacre. It only took 19 Muslim terrorists to carry out 9/11. Let me say, the two Muslim refugees certainly found the very best equipment to do their job all of a sudden. Wonder where they found that, you know? If only 1% of those 1,300 Syrian ISIS supporters put their beliefs into practice, they can still kill thousands of Americans. And that's a best-case scenario, because it doesn't account for how many thousands of them support al-Qaeda. It doesn't account for how many of them back other Islamic terrorist groups such as Hamas that had widespread support in Syria. So it's much, much higher now. While the media has shamelessly attempted to exploit the Holocaust to rally support for Syrian migrants, the majority of Syrians supported Hamas, whose mandate is finishing Hitler's work. The Hamas Charter describes a struggle against the Jews that culminates in another Holocaust. Bringing Hamas supporters to America will lead to more Muslim supremacist violence against Jews in this country. And I might add Christians, because we are the great Satan to most of them. But all of this can be avoided by taking in genuine Syrian refugees. While Obama assists on taking in fake Syrian refugees, mainly Sunni Muslims from UN camps who support terrorism and are not endangered in Jordan or Turkey, both Sunni countries, he is neglecting the real refugees, the Christians and Yazidis, who are stateless and persecuted in Muslim world. Instead of taking in fake refugees who hate us, we should be taking in real refugees who need us. Obama and Paul Ryan have claimed that a religious test for refugees is wrong. Well, you see how much of a failure we jumped, you know, out of the frying pan and into the fire with Paul Ryan, right? But religious tests are how we determine whether a refugee is really fleeing persecution or is just an economic migrant. Or is coming to have jihad in America, for goodness sake. Why would they all be willing to run out and invade all of Europe and America? Why the West, right? Why not Muslim countries? No, it's a, it's a jihad. And we're finding it out. The Sunni Muslims that America is taking in do not face persecution. They are the majority. They are the persecutors. It's the Yazidis. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Yazidis or Yazidis. And the Christians who need our help. And these real refugees, unlike the fake Sunni Muslim refugees, are not coming here to kill us. They truly have nowhere else to go. Syria is a disaster because its rival Muslim religious groups are unable to get along with each other. Bringing them into this country will only spread the violence from their land to ours. Instead of taking in the religious majority that caused this mess through its intolerance, we should take in the victims, the Christians and the Yazidis, who are being slaughtered and enslaved by ISIS. During the entire Syrian war, Obama has only taken in one Syrian Yazidi and 53 Christians. There you go. 53 out of, 10,000. Okay. It's time that we had a refugee policy that protected the persecuted instead of their Muslim persecutors. It's time that we listen to Syrian Christians in this country who oppose bringing tens of thousands of Syrian Muslims to terrorize their neighborhoods the way that they are already terrorizing Syrian Christians in Germany. Syrian Muslims are a nation of terrorist supporters. They destroyed their own country. Let's not let them destroy ours. It's time that we kept our nation safe by doing the right thing. Let's take in the real Christian and Yazidi refugees and let the fake Sunni Muslims, refugees, and terrorist supporters stay in their own country. Well, you think that might make sense, but no, it don't make sense. And they're getting shamed for being anti-Muslim by Mr. Obama. At any rate, I'll tell you the real story about this. I got some answers from the Lord. I'm going to start right here. You know, in Charlie and Linda's dream, in which they both received in one night, terrorists in the United States were using knives or Muslim scimitars to kill people, running and trying to hide from them. And at the time, in 2013, we thought that this would be ISIS. And now we find that they have been brought into every state in the Union, in which the feds already have cases of terrorism. What percentage of Syrian refugees are being brought in are terrorists? Well, you just saw what percentage. So I was troubled by this article, and I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random, and I received Psalm 78:33b. And my finger was on their years in terror. Here's the text. Psalm 78:32. For all this, they still sinned and believed not in his wondrous works. Well, they don't believe in his wondrous works. Look at all the things that they talk about that they think will defend them. They don't believe in God. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in terror. And when he slew them, they inquired after him, and they returned and sought God earnestly. Okay, so we see the real clear purpose here, that God has turned apostate Christianity over to terror, so there is repentance. It appears, by what we've seen so far, that both the quakes and the terrorist attacks will be a 9-1-1, because this is an overthrow. This is a coup. This is an overthrow of the country by Marxist people. Deb Horton got a verse by faith at random today saying, I've been seeing 9-1-1. And today, the verse I received was Revelation 9-1-1, where the scorpions are mentioned per your vision. Well, this was because I had just seen a vision in the night of a scorpion with its tail ready to strike. Scorpion is also a class of demons, according to what Jesus taught. And their specialty is fear or terror. When we look at the background of the text that Deb got, which she mentioned here, scorpions, it has to do with a scorpion terror attack. And the fifth angel sounded, and we know this is further into the tribulation, naturally speaking, time-wise, but what we're looking at is the terror attack that the Lord is showing us here. using the text to show us that. And I saw a star from heaven fallen unto the earth, and there was given to him the key of the pit of the abyss. Can't imagine why they'd come out of the abyss, can you? No. And he opened the pit of the abyss, and there went up a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Well, they are definitely from the pit. You know, smoke many times represents unclean spirits. Breath in Scripture and spirit are the same word. So some people who smoke have received revelations that they're receiving. I'm talking about in dreams, they might be smoking. When they don't normally smoke, this just means they're partaking of a unclean spirit or an unclean breath, right? And out of the smoke came forth locusts upon the earth. There it is, terrorists going forth to attack. And power was given them. Yeah, who did that? Well, God did. As the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was said unto them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only such men as have not the seal of God on their foreheads. So some people have protection, and some do not. They don't have the seal of God on their foreheads. What is that? The mark of the Christ, not the mark of the beast, right? The mark of the beast is works of the flesh, mind of the flesh, hand and forehead, right? So there are a lot of Christians that are actually beasts because they walk after the mind of the flesh and the works of the flesh, the forehead and the hand, right? The mark in the forehead and the hand. And it was given them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days, I would that it would only lasted, this only lasted 5 months that we're seeing here. But I believe it's going to last all the way through the tribulation period. And in those days, men shall seek death and shall in no wise find it. They shall desire to die, and death fleeth from them. So although the literal timing of this is much later in the tribulation, the Lord was showing us a scorpion terror attack. And verse 7 says, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared for war. Yes, they are coming to make war. And upon their heads, as it were, crowns like unto gold. They've been given dominion. And their faces were as men's faces. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were the teeth of lions. Yep, coming to devour. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound in their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses rushing to war. Yes, they are rushing to war. And they have tails like unto scorpions and stings, and in their tails is their power to hurt men 5 months. Yep, just a few nights ago I saw a vision of a scorpion with the tail raised, ready to attack. And this looks like a pretty good type of a terrorist attack, doesn't it? And 911, this is the verse she got. She mentioned all this because of my vision of the scorpion, and then she got this, 911. What's 911 known as? It's come to be known as a false flag, hadn't it? They have over them as king the angel of the abyss. Can't imagine why. His name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek tongue he hath the name Apollyon. So he is the destroyer. There he is, the 911 destroyer. And some other texts that we received by faith. Don Laughlin received Daniel 5:1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple. In other words, those that have been taken captive to Babylonish religion, right? which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines, might drink therefrom. Well, wine represents blood, as you know, and this represents a persecution against the people of God in Babylon, or United States. And it's going to be a lot of blood. Deborah Horton received Judges 9 and 8 on down. The trees went forth on a time to anoint a king over them. They said unto the olive tree, reign thou over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, wherewith by me they honor God and man, and go to wave to and fro over the trees? Well, I kind of feel the same way, you know, what Christian would want to get into politics? 10. And the trees said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I leave my sweetness and my good fruit? Sounds like you have to leave your good fruit if you're going to go into politics. And go to wave to and fro over the trees? And the tree said unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. Well, they're getting really to the bottom of the barrel here, aren't they? The vine said unto them, should I leave my new wine, which cheereth God and man, to go and wave to and fro over the trees? Then said all the trees unto the bramble. Briar patch, right? Come thou and reign over us. And the bramble said unto the trees, if in truth you anoint me king over you, then come and take refuge in my shade. In other words, humbly submit yourself unto me. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. So they elected the bramble, and he destroyed them. I mean, even what this was literally talking about, that's exactly what happened. And Judah received Job 36 and 16. Yea, he would have allured thee out of darkness into a broad place. In other words, freedom. He wanted to give us blessings and freedom, where there is no straitness, and that which is set on thy table would be full of fatness. Yes, and I guarantee you we're headed towards drought, more drought, I should say, and loss of food and control of the government. But thou art full of the judgment of the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold on thee. For let not wrath stir thee up against the chastisements. So don't listen to these people that say, get your gun and go kill a bunch of them. Neither let the greatness of the ransom turn thee aside. So don't be bribed into doing something that's against God. Will thy cry avail that thou be not in distress? Or all the forces of thy strength? In other words, is your own strength going to get you out of this? Are your guns going to get you out of this? He said, desire not the night when peoples are cut off in their place. So, God wanted to bless the people, but judgment has come. And all their strength and their guns won't put it away. In the night, people will be cut off. And Missy received Esther 3 and 5. We received these in one day. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not down, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Well, I suspect there's a lot of indignant leaders of Christianity. But he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had made known to him the people of Mordecai, which was the Jews in the natural, but the Christians in the spiritual, right? Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So Haman hates the Christian leaders, but he wants to kill all their people too. And Ty received Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. Remember also thy Creator. This is important. In the days of thy youth, before the evil days come. Before the evil days come. Because if you live like hell, guess what's going to happen? It'll be too late when the evil days come. And the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Well, I can tell you, they're not going to receive pleasure in the days of tormenting tribulation period, and even the days before that, which we're looking at now. Maybe even the holidays, like the man said. This is the end of the matter. All have been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And this is the important thing. Before the evil days, fear God and keep His commandments. Remember the Lord to obey Him before the evil comes, and He will protect you. And Pam saw in a dream an attack on Christians in Pensacola. They were busy with church and conferences, and she was in the body of one of them watching this whole thing. And then a nightmare scenario struck, very bloody. She got Daniel 3:16 through 18, I believe it was. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What do I get from this? Well, do not deny the Lord before their gods, and the God, our God, will preserve you. Interesting that Eve got the same text that she asked for, a word after this word she received from the Father. She said, Dear brethren, I asked Father what was on His heart to say to us today, and He told me to get a pen and a paper. He said, My people, who are called by My name, humble yourselves before Me this day. Fast and pray. We've been getting the same thing. Saints, fast and pray with weeping and lamentation for your brethren who are in this land. Yes, many are in danger, and they don't know it. They're doing their own thing. They're walking stubbornly after their self-will, and they've followed false religion instead of Jesus Christ and false leaders, and there's a chastening coming. And this is a warning. For swift destruction is coming, and distress from every side. And there shall be none to deliver. But I will deliver, by My power and strong arm, those who will repent and turn to Me in that day. Well, amen. Take care to be mindful of your fellow brethren. Lay down your lives, for you are your brother's keeper. Offer up to Me the sweet smell of sacrifice, and I will honor it. Fast. Pray, for the day draws near. All things will be accomplished according to My word. Well, amen. Fast and pray for your brethren and for yourself if you are in any kind of willful disobedience, not walking by faith in the Lord, not walking in love, being critical or unforgiving or judgmental of other people, etc., etc. Be careful. Judgment is coming. And I asked Father for some verses to go with this word and received Jeremiah 34:10 and Daniel 3:23-28. Well, that's the same text as what we just read. Okay, first Daniel 34:10, and all the princes and all the people obeyed that had entered into the covenant, that every one should let his manservant and his maidservant go free, that none should make bondmen of them any more. They obeyed and let them go. Well, you remember in Matthew 18, it was the debt of sin that the servant had against his Lord. He wouldn't forgive his fellow servant's debt. of sin. The problem was forgiveness. And this speaks about forgiveness. This means forgive everyone from the heart, or you will suffer more than you have already. Daniel 3 and 23. Let me read the same text, actually. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. It's just like she finished the text from the other one. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste. He spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. What else would they say, right? He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the aspect of the fourth is like a son of the gods. And the word gods is Elohim. It's often used of our God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. He spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Oh, he figured that out, did he? Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the satraps and the deputies and the governors and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men that the fire had no power upon their bodies, nor was the hair of their head singed, neither were their hosen changed, nor had the smell of fire passed on them. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Delivered his servants that trusted in him. And have changed the king's word, and have yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. They yielded their bodies. They trusted in the Lord. They didn't think they could save themselves. It wasn't by their power or their guns, as we saw just a few minutes ago. And this means, of course, that he will preserve the faithful and the righteous who are forgiven. How about that? So I guess we need to take this thing seriously, saints. Let me point out something to you. We are very close. This is Jim Sinclair's Mindset, and this is an article by Bill Holter. He said, So what exactly happened last Thursday? The markets, including the dollar, crashed, and this was not supposed to happen. It's actually quite easy to understand if you see what they did was only a test. Do you understand what I mean when I say a test? I will explain shortly, but first, the Fed came out with piggyback governors talking about a rate hike. Hilarious on the face of it, if you'll just look at the U.S. economic implosion going on. But let's assume this is reality. The Fed really wants to hike rates. They do not want to. They have to. He's putting that in parentheses. They don't want to raise the rates. They have to. For the sake of saving face and retaining any credibility, they absolutely must raise interest rates after 7 years. How do they do this? Please read this piece by E.D. Skirm. And I'm not going to read that. Just a 0.25% rate raises in rates will require the equivalent of up to $800 billion of collateral necessitated to being pulled. Did you get that? $800 billion. A huge number, and enough to tank the whole system unless someone is willing to replace it. For starters, you must understand if the Fed does tighten, and collateral is withdrawn from the system because everything is now so leveraged, collateral from somewhere else must be added. That somewhere was supposed to be Europe. Mario Draghi tried to push the EU Governing Council into further QE. And in essence, The German hawks refused and instead wanted to let some air out of the current bubbles. Europe was supposed to carry the baton of QE. They instead dropped it. Mario tried to fix it on Friday with his whatever it takes statement. I see a problem with this, and it has to do with collateral, or the lack thereof. You see, Europe is experiencing the same limits the Fed ran into during its last round of QE. Not enough unencumbered collateral left to purchase. Another way to say this would be, there is just not enough debt outstanding. I know it sounds crazy because the underlying financial and economic problems have arisen because there is too much debt, but there's not enough to accommodate the needs for more quantitative easing, QE. What happened on Thursday was a test of wills between the Fed and the Bundesbank. The Fed clearly lost, even though Friday was a giant reversal from Thursday. I say this because Mario can say whatever he likes. His mouth will not create the collateral necessary to substitute for any tightening of the Fed. He can say what he pleases, but the governing council of the EU, which is run by hawkish Germans, will not reach for the QE baton. Mr. Draghi can now only jawbone and try to mold appearances. So, where does this leave the Fed and their quarter point rate increase? I would say they have already seen the future, and it was Thursday. If they decide to hike rates and the EU does not pick up the collateral slack, I believe we will not see the market stay open for more than a week or so. I say this because, in essence, the Fed will be issuing a margin call into a system already lacking for liquidity. As I have said before, they originally treated a solvency problem with more liquidity, and it is now morphed into a far bigger solvency problem. Only this time, as liquidity is also lacking, they do not have the tools, or collateral, to create the needed additional liquidity. The Fed has truly painted themselves into a corner of their own making. I am shocked they have been so vocal and vehement they were going to raise rates. Did they not have a deal already in place with the ECB? Or were they double-crossed? The ECB is a European Central Bank. And on the one hand, if they do not hike rates, their credibility is toast. On the other hand, if they do raise rates, they will smoke the financial markets faster than you can call your broker with a sell order. I can only think the Fed somehow believed they had a deal with the European Central Bank. Even the BIS, which is the Bank for International Settlements, has warned the Fed about raising rates. Is the Fed just not listening to the rest of the world? Whether they see it or not, they have created a currency crisis, with the dollar being the central character. There's quite a few links here to go to, but I'm not going to any of them. The way I see this, and he's getting to the point, and it's the point I believe he's correct on, so the way I see this, the U.S. now has a very big problem on the credibility front. You can add to the above monetary fix we are in with a multitude of other U.S. pictures just not adding up. U.S. policy is now being found out geopolitically thanks to Mr. Putin dropping a few truth bombs. Yeah. The domestic economy is already in recession, and Christmas, the politically correct term is now holiday, sales will be a disaster. Christmas sales will be a disaster. Truth is beginning to slip out from behind several different curtains. I hate to say it, but a giant false flag will have to come out very soon in order to keep cover and divert attention from the truth. I do not see any other option left. The reality must remain hidden or attention diverted or the unraveling comes. Okay, so this is true. I mean, too much attention and it will just make things a lot worse. So what would they do to stop this? Well, I think he's right. I think we will see trouble now. Big trouble. And it could very well come from ISIS. But the real one we have to please is the Lord. And even in the midst of the whole country crumbling and all the economy crumbling and ISIS running rampant, you can be safe and trusting in the Lord. And if you trust in the arm of the flesh and you go after your weapons, you also promise to lose. So yes, you might take out a few of them, but ultimately he that lives by the sword will die by the sword. And Father, we just ask you in Jesus' name, put faith in your true people. The righteous shall live from faith. Let them walk by faith in you, Lord. Let them trust in you. Let them know that their job here is not to kill people, but to share the gospel with them. And to turn the other cheek and to love their enemies. The so-called politically minded preachers would have a problem with loving their enemies and shooting them at the same time. Well, Father, we just ask you in Jesus' name, we ask that your people be a witness for you, Lord, that they trust in your divine protection, as Psalm 91. And if they don't, of course, they might die. They still might go to be with the Lord, some of them. But, Lord, we need to know you. We need you to grant repentance. We ask that you bring revival through these things that you're warning us about. We ask that you grant grace to your people who are walking in stubborn rebellion and unforgiveness and criticism and slander and et cetera, et cetera. Lord, we ask you to grant grace. Have mercy. Turn the people unto you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Let us serve you, Lord. Let us willingly run after you. Let us remember the Lord before the evil days come. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy and thank you for your grace, Lord. In Jesus' name.